A reading from Neglected Works of Thomas Goodwin on the Holy Spirit. Chapter 13. The highest degree to which a temporary believer can possibly attain, described by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 6, which yet falls short of that saving work wrought in a sincere believer, there spoken of by him. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain which comes oft upon it, and brings forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God, but that which bears thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. The Apostle sets before these Hebrews the most dreadful things about a temporary work and condition that is to be found in the whole Scriptures, and yet in the occasion he took for it, he doth it with the greatest advantage for the comfort of the weakest sound Christian, and with the greatest tenderness that possibly so great a manner could be uttered in. The advantage he takes for it appears in this, that whereas one of the greatest objections that many sound believers have against themselves, that they are but temporaries, ariseth from manifold defects, and some of which are but accidental to a Christian state, the deadness of their hearts, the lowness of their graces, the want of growth, rebellion of lusts, and the like, for there are a thousand such might be instanced. They judged such like things, especially when of a long continuance, to argue them hypocrites, which doubts of theirs they were the more strengthened in, when, withal, they compared the soaring heights, the high enlightenings, the vehement and forward affections, tastes of things in the other world which concerns man's salvation, that they have observed to have been as some that had utterly fallen away. Alas, they thought, when I compare what deadness is in my heart, what little or no proficiency my soul has made in things heavenly for so long a time, and on the other hand, what wonderful enlightenings, quickness of affections, such as have fallen away have shot up into, I cannot but conclude that I much rather shall fall away too, for alas, I am far short of them in these things. The Apostle, therefore, intending to discourse this great point in this epistle, takes a strange advantage for it, and such a one as shall prevent the discouragement of the lowest saint. The course he takes is this, number one. He presents the worst and lowest case of a sound Christian that well can be supposed, and tell those Hebrews plainly that it was many of their cases, chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. For when for the first time ye ought to have been teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. He instances, indeed, only in point of defect in, and want of growth and knowledge, but that must be proportionably supposed to have been accompanied with answerable flatness and deadness of holy affections, and colder exercise of grace. It is certain if they did not grow in knowledge in so many years, they had not grown in grace. Grow in knowledge, says the Apostle, and in grace. And it is as certain that if they had not grown in grace, there must have been a decay in grace and the exercises of it, and thereupon a worldly, fleshly frame and an overgrowing of many lusts would arise instead thereof, by which at last they grew nigh unto a curse from God and were even at the very pit's brink, to have been given up by God to final hardness, and so on. Yet knowledge is that thing which even hypocrites use to grow up into more than in any other endowment. And gifts of knowledge in the exercise thereof, they are eminent. These are an excellency which corrupt nature affects and seeks after above all other. That, therefore, such as were true Christians should not have sought to grow up in this. What a strange thing and case was this. And the ground thereof must needs be, because they had not had a great valuation of things heavenly, which if they had had, they would have sought to grow accordingly in the knowledge of them. Now take their case as to knowledge, as the apostle here sets it out. It was very deplorable, verse 12. Number one, they seem to have lost of that spiritual capacity to take in spiritual things which they once had, and to have fallen from much of that spiritual favor and quickness of understanding and the fear of the Lord which they once had. This, that word, you are become such, and so on, seems to import. Number two, they are represented like men old, or men in a consumption, whose stomachs cannot digest strong meats, as they had wont, and are therefore glad to live on milk and the weakest sort of food. You are become such, says the apostle, as have need of milk and not of strong meat, which the opposition, verse 14, shows and explains. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Number three, that word by reason of use implies that they had not exercised their graces whereby their knowledge might have been put in use and so enlarged thereby. Secondly, having thus set them forth at the lowest, he describes the highest and quickest sort of workings and operations and advances and manners of religion made by some that yet fall away. Chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance. And yet, thirdly, he concludes that he hoped better things and things that accompanied salvation, or that have salvation in them, verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. According to that saying, he that truly believes hath eternal life. Of these concerning whom he had afore spoken the worst things that could be spoken, he yet hopes, nay is persuaded, that such better things or saving graces yet remain in them, than all those enlightenings specified had been in those other, as having been but such as never had true salvation in them, but had all the while been short of it, and not in the event only. And the ground of his persuasion was, number one, that they had wrought in them at first a sound and sincere love to God, his name, and his saints, which they had by deeds and labor therein given many real testimonies of. Number two, and to this end he bids them call to remembrance and so on, chapter 10, verses 32 to 35. Call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partially whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. It went, it seems, very low with them at present, when, to persuade himself and them of their grace, he is fain to have recourse unto things so far back. Number three, he elsewhere reminds them also that though they had never yet been called to martyrdom, nor resisted unto blood, chapter 12:4, yet they had continued to fight against sin, and with much contest and hazard to keep themselves from the evils of the times, all which are a fighting against sin, to keep a good conscience, as also they had maintained and kept up a conflict against sin in their own hearts. Number four, though things they had continued, though in some low measure, to do for a long time, from the first works upon them, and even there and then, verse 12, whilst he blames them for their non-proficiency, yet those words, that when for the time you might have been teachers and so on, argues them to have been a long time converted. Then again, chapter 10, verse 32, he bids to call to remembrance the former days and so on, when first converted, which had been long since past. observation, that in the conflicts and disquisition your spirits may have, whether yourselves be temporary believers or not, consider that there are many things accidental to the state of grace which you are not absolutely to conclude of your estates by. First, not by a great decay of what affections and perhaps some principles of strictness you had at first, now much decayed and lessened. If these he wrote to have these as fresh in them, when he wrote as at the first, he would not have remitted them to their experiments in former times. Call to remembrance, he says, and so on. Nor would he have comforted them with this, that God is not forgetful, and so on, of what had been so long past, if fresher and better fruits and more lively evidences had of latter years been found in them. Secondly, nor are you to judge of yourselves by a comparison of appearance made of yourselves with some you have known or read of in the Word to have gone so far and so far, whom you verily think, as to your own view, whilst you compare yourselves with them, that they have fallen short. Alas, if these among these Hebrews should have compared their low present actings and lightenings, workings of heart and so on, with those other in the appearance of them, as verses 4 and 5 he has set them out, where would these poor ungrown Christians have appeared? As it is an uncertain rule to judge a man's good by comparing himself with others that are worse, so and so, fetching his comfort thence, so it is as uncertain a one to judge of myself and of my Christian estate by comparing it with others whom I have thought better than myself to have gone further, who yet have proved apostates. For what do I know what was the frame of their hearts towards God and the principles of their profession? You do not know the whole of the state and condition of such men, what it was. Bring then your heart to God and view all that has been between him and you, either of his love drawn forth to you or yours to him. Consider whether your heart in some degree yet cleaves to God and continues to pursue after him. So shall you have comfort from the Lord, who is not forgetful of any of these things. Cast not your confidence away in such a case. If you let that go, you let all go. Hold fast the beginning of your confidence to the end. Thus the apostle exhorts in this epistle again and again in chapter 10:35 and chapter 3:6. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. This is what above all else the apostle exhorts unto, verse 14. Some of these poor Hebrew Christians that were sound-hearted, who had not fallen off and departed from Christ as others had done, yet could not but have great doubts and disputes within themselves whether they were not temporary believers, and that their latter end might be like unto theirs. For such a declining and ungrowing a condition could not have but been accompanied with such temptations in a heart in any measure considerative or attentive to its own salvation. Yet you see the course the apostle takes with them. First, he puts them not upon the dispute of this, which was a controversy and suit they could never have brought to an end, in which nothing but faith ends. Nor, number two, does he seek to work in them such a work of humbling or apprehension of their being in their natural condition, as used to be at first, wherein converts do cast away all that had been wrought hitherto as unsound, as if that were a necessary foundation and such unto a new saving work. He does not direct them to make utterly a new beginning as to their own apprehensions. But the case stands thus, that whereas sound believers used to have emptyings of themselves upon discovery of their wants and corruptions, which causes them to apprehend, for the present, their conditions to be unregenerate, after which the Holy Ghost comes and takes the advantage out of themselves unto renewed acts of faith, so these, having the convictions of their former unsoundness laid open to them by the Holy Ghost, are thereupon gently led into true and saving acts of faith, regenerating of them. And look, as afore this work, these temporaries had a work so like true grace, as it was very hard to distinguish it from the true. So this very new saving work in them is hardly distinguishable from that renewed work on true believers upon and after such temptations. Thirdly, he exhorts them to remember what had been wrought in them, and how God had drawn and won their hearts unto him, and accordingly that they should hold fast the beginning of their confidence to the end, and they would find themselves partakers of Christ. It is unto the way of renewing their faith he directs them, for faith would only end it and renew that often. He says, chapter 4:11, let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. The word is, let us study that point, and to enter into rest is to believe, is the opposition. And likewise, verse 3 show, for which we have believed to enter into rest. If anyone object to me, would you have me to recall my first work and trust in that? Suppose it were indeed not a saving work, as in many that are after may sound, it is not. Would you have me renew my confidence thereon? Answer, no. That is not my meaning, nor Paul's. For if the work were never so good and sound, your confidence must not be upon that, much less when it may be a false one. But this I say, renew the same acts of faith, and trust on the same God in Christ as you did at first. Have recourse to them afresh. Reiterate again and again your faith on them immediately as you did at first. In the original it is, the subsistence of your confidence. Hold God and Christ afore you as subsistent by faith to you in your treaties with him. And if God continues to carry on your heart thus to pursue after him, Christ cannot but save you. For if you continue to cast yourself upon him, and still in all such dissertations about your estate ply him, and put your salvation into his hands, Christ will not, cannot depart from you while he continues your heart to trust him. He cannot but work savingly in the end on such a soul if he has not done it already. Remember then, whence you are fallen, and do your first works and repent. Hebrews 6:11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. If you have slackened as you have done, yet revive that diligence again, and you will find your first confidence will come in again, if true, with advantage and increase, even with full assurance of hope unto the end. If there was not a true faith at first, then a better will come in the room of it. Only fourthly, he severely cautions and admonishes them to take heed lest there be in any of them an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, he says, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, chapter 3:12-13, and verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, and so on. He exhorts them to take heed of indulging their lusts, Hebrews 12:15-17, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He exhorts them to take heed of leaving off ordinances, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. And many such most earnest exhortations he makes, not only in relation to their neglect of particular duties, but in relation to their eternal states and conditions.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan hard drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan hard drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan hard drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan hard drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwaters Revival Books.